Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 25 and 26. Then we're going to skip down to verse 32 and read verse 32 through verse 35. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now, verse 32 through 35. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Let me go back over these verses and show you the wonderful promises and admonishments that the Holy Spirit gives us in these verses. First of all, verse 25, number one, and there are seven of these that I want to point out to you. Number one, be not afraid of sudden fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a command from our Savior. We are instructed from Holy Writ to not fear when sudden calamities and intimidations, etc., come upon us. And they do come very quickly. They come without notice. The devil will bring things into our lives that we never saw coming. Being finite creatures, not being able to see the future, the devil takes advantage of that, and out of nowhere, seemingly, these things come against us. Our society today, and it's been this way ever since 2001, the society as a whole, due to the persistent, ubiquitous propagandizing by members of our government and our news media, hearty, horror, horror. They're not news media. They are New World Order propagandists, is what they are. And they are trying, and they have since 2001, ever since the 9/11 attacks, to instill fear in the hearts of the American people. Constant, ubiquitous, never-ending fear-mongering. And now, with the COVID narrative, we've compounded fear upon fear upon fear. The country, think about it, 2001, that is a generation. An entire generation of Americans that does not know a country that has not tried to scare it into submission from the day it was born. From the time that they can remember, before they went to school, they were inundated with fear-mongering politicians, news media, now the medical community, science community and preachers and Christians as well. They can't escape it, no matter where they go. If they go to school, especially the public schools, but many private schools as well, they get the fear-mongering from the teachers and the faculty of the school. If they go to college and university, it's even augmented more at that level of education. If they go to work, they hear it from their employers and the foremen and the people that are over them. Fear-mongering, fear-mongering. If they go into the community among their friends and peers, fear-mongering, fear-mongering. When they go to church, which should be a place of solace and courage and conviction, it's more fear-mongering and more fear-mongering. It is 24/7. It is every day. It is everywhere you go. For an entire generation, the American people have been fed nothing but fear, fear, and more fear. Our God tells us, be not afraid of sudden fear. The second thing I point out to you, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord shall be thy confidence. Who is the Lord? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. He is the one who is dead, but now liveth forevermore. He is the King immortal, our Savior and Redeemer. The confidence we have should be in Him first and foremost. Are you really going to put your confidence in these politicians? They call themselves political leaders. Are you really going to put your confidence in that lifelong government bureaucrat who has never worked as a doctor one day in his life since he was in med school as an intern, Anthony Heil Hitler Fauci, are you really going to put your confidence in anything that little weasel has to say? Are you really going to listen to Bill Gates, who has corrupted and destroyed the lives of boys and girls, men and women in third world countries all over the world to advance his own financial pockets through this ungodly, unbelievable, criminal way of foisting experimental drugs and pharmaceutical on people, turning many of them into vegetables, killing many of them, crippling many of them with no accountability, no impunity, a man who is above the laws, it seems, of humanity. And well, he may be, but I guarantee you, Mr. Gates, you're not above the laws of God. And God will meet you one day for a personal judgment. You can count on that, sir. You're going to put your confidence in these educators. You're going to put your confidence in these media propagandists. Who are you going to put your confidence in? Be not afraid of sudden fear, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. Let me tell you something. God is bigger and stronger than all of the people and all of the entities I just named put together. He's stronger than any of them. Shall keep thy foot from being taken. That is a word description having to do with stepping in a trap. He shall keep thy foot from being taken. He'll keep you from stepping into the devil's trap. These are the promises and the exhortations of Proverbs chapter 3. Be not afraid of sudden fear. The Lord shall be your confidence. He shall keep your foot from being taken. When we are trusting Him, and when we are fearless of men and the forces of evil, God will protect us from falling into the traps of Satan and of this world. That is a promise. The people that are falling in the traps are the people that are living in fear, number one, and they're people, number two, that have not made the Lord their confidence. They're confident in their job, in their career, in their money, in their wealth, in their position. They're confident in all the wrong things. Confidence in the Lord and fearlessness before men and evil guarantee that your foot will not be taken in the trap of Satan. And that's why the people that are in the trap are so envious of the people who are not in the trap, even though they're not willing to pay the price to be free. They're not willing to pay the price to have the strength and the protection of God, but yet they are envious, and then they join forces against us because of that jealousy, because after all, if I am suffering under this yoke, then you're going to have to suffer under this yoke too. Well, I'm sorry, you can keep the yoke. We are free men and women in Jesus Christ, and free we shall ever be. Number four, in verse 32, his secret is with the righteous. Now, what does that mean? It means his secret counsel is with the righteous. His secret counsel. The Word of God illuminated to the people who fear not, to the people who trust God, to the people who are obedient to him, the Holy Spirit will illuminate the secret counsels of God in his word to us and will teach us things that he will not teach others. People that are deaf to the will of God, people who are fearful in their hearts, people who are not truly trusting God with everything they have, that everything, not just your soul, but everything you have in this world, trusting God, the Lord is not revealing to them these deep secret truths of his word. That's why they can read the same Bible that we read, and they're getting nothing out of it. The real truths that would liberate them and strengthen them and teach them are hidden from their eyes because their hearts are not prepared to receive it. If your heart is stubborn and obstinate against the Lord, he is under no obligation to reveal to you the great truths of his word, and he will not. Here he said that the froward are abomination, but the righteous will have his secret counsel from the word of God and the Holy Spirit because of a pure heart. Number five, he blesseth the habitation of the just, the home of the just. He will bless your home. Number six, he giveth grace to the lowly. The word lowly means humble. He giveth grace to the humble. And my friends, everything about the Christian life is due to the grace of Almighty God. Every blessing. My dad, bless his memory, the one thing, well, there's several things he taught me, as I've mentioned from time to time, but the one thing he taught me above everything else, son, he would say, it's all of grace. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. I grew up, I want to say every day, hearing Dad tell me again and again and again, it's all of grace. It's all of grace. And I can say to you, it's all of grace. It's all of grace. Don't ever think that it's not. It is all of the grace of God. He giveth grace unto the humble. And then number seven, the wise, according to God's wisdom, not man's, the wise shall inherit glory. Not speaking of glory in this life, not speaking of popularity in this life, but speaking of the heavenly life, the glory that will be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us one day. No comparison. I have people say, you know, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell somebody about, you know, all my troubles I went through and all the hardships and all the difficulties and all the trials. No, let me tell you something. The very second you arrive in heaven, you're going to realize that the worst that you ever had, the worst experience, the worst heartache, the worst pain, the worst agony, the worst persecution, the worst you ever had in this life is not even worthy to talk about compared to the glory that you've just walked into. Now, there'll be you won't even be a memory. You won't even be thinking about it. It'll be as nothing compared to the glory that we will have in that heavenly Jerusalem in which we will one day live. The wise shall inherit glory. Be not afraid of sudden fear. The Lord shall be thy confidence. He shall keep thy foot from being taken. His secret counsel is with the righteous. He blesseth the habitation of the just. He giveth grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about calm and courage in a COVID world. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about calm and courage in a COVID world. As with the phony 9/11 narrative, the phony COVID narrative has created a brand new world. All built on lies. The 9/11 narrative is as deceitful and dishonest as is the COVID narrative. Amen. All based on lies. The phony 9/11 and COVID narratives created, and I'm going to give you four things, and this is number one. They created a perpetual warfare state. A perpetual warfare state. Carol, can you go get me the aggression, anarchy, revolution, and gun control package, please? If you have not ordered or purchased, if you're in this room, the package that she's bringing to me, I want to encourage you very much to watch it. I really believe that this is one of the most important packages that we've ever put together. Thank you. This is what it looks like. The title is Aggression, Revolution, Anarchy, and Gun Control. I'm talking about the perpetual warfare state. The very first message in this series is called The Crime of Aggression, condemned by the law of nature and nature's God. Taken from the life of King David. God hates wars of aggression. It is the greatest sin that nations can commit. And the United States has been guilty of this ever since 2003, in the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. It didn't stop there. Syria, Somalia, Iran, all throughout the Middle East. I encourage you to get this, seriously. It will truly help you understand the biblical perspective on the issue of unjust war. And it'll also give you perspective of the defense that Christians are to employ in the face of unlawful aggression, etc. It's a fantastic package. This brings me to the withdrawal of Afghanistan. I've got to talk about it. In the first place, we should have never been there. Amen. But what happened over the last 30 days relative to the withdrawal of Afghanistan, which could have been a good thing if done properly, was so abysmal, criminal in nature, and it defies understanding. We left $85 billion in U.S. weapons and equipment to the Taliban. $85 billion in weapons and equipment now in the hands of the Taliban. Let me give you some breakdowns. 2,000 armored vehicles, including Humvees and MRAPs. Almost 76,000 total vehicles of all kinds. 45 UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters. The Taliban now have more Black Hawk helicopters than 85% of the countries of the world. We just gave them that many Black Hawk helicopters. 50 MD-53OG Scout attack helicopters, Scan Eagle military drones, 30 military version Cessnas, 4 C-130s, 29 A-29 ground attack aircraft, heavy equipment including bulldozers, backhoes, dump trucks, excavators, over 200 U.S. aircraft altogether. At least 600,000 small arms. This is not misquoted. 600,000 small arms. M16, M249 SAWs, M24 sniper systems, 50 calibers, 1,394 M203 grenade launchers, M134 minigun, 20 millimeter Gatling guns, and ammunition. 61,000 M203 rounds, 20,040 grenades, howitzers, mortars, thousands of rounds, 162,000 pieces of encrypted military communications gear, 16,000 plus night vision goggles, newest technology night vision scopes and thermal monogoggles, 10,000 2.75-inch air-to-ground rockets, reconnaissance equipment, laser aiming units, explosive ordnance, C4, Semtex, detonators, thermite, incendiaries, 2,520 bombs, administration encrypted cell phones and laptops, all operational, millions of rounds of ammunition, including but not limited to 20,150,600 rounds of 7.62 millimeter, 9 million rounds of 50 caliber, large stockpiles of plate carriers and body armor, and pallets with millions of dollars in U.S. currency. We left all of that to the Taliban. And I want to say here emphatically, this was not incompetence. It was deliberate collaboration with the enemy. Joe Biden should not be impeached. He should be charged in court with treason. In addition to all of the equipment that I've just mentioned and more, I'm sure, that I don't know about, thousands of American citizens, not hundreds, thousands of American citizens and Afghanis loyal to America abandoned to be tortured and killed and who knows what else. Many of the Afghanis who were truly loyal to the United States and helped our country in every way they could, many times risking their lives in order to help our men and women over there. Many, if not most, of those Afghanis were left behind. And the Afghanis that were evacuated were Afghanis of who knows what persuasion and of what potential. They were not the ones that had risked their lives and fought for us. They were other Afghanis that were given preference in the escape helicopters. 47,000 Afghan citizens, civilians, killed in this war. 47,000 innocent Afghans killed. 2,400 American troops killed and over 20,000 wounded. The U.S. dropped over 7,400 bombs on that beleaguered country. Under U.S. rule, opium distribution had explosive growth. Over 6,300 tons of opium were cultivated and distributed in 2020 alone. Under U.S. guardianship, Afghanistan became the largest opium distributor in the entire world. And no one can prove this except the people that are doing it, and they won't. Except for a few whistleblowers here and there. But I guarantee you that much of that distribution was via our own CIA. Our government is the number one distributor of illegal drugs in the entire world, including opium from Afghanistan. This war in Afghanistan cost the U.S. taxpayers over $2 trillion. And with all of the equipment and all of the money and all of the sophisticated technology that we deliberately gave to the Afghanistan does not end the war on terror in that part of the world. It guarantees the spread of that war around the globe. Mr. Biden has not ended a war. Mr. Biden has started another war. And he should be called for it. Number two, the phony 9/11 and COVID narratives created a proliferating police state, a perpetual warfare state, a proliferating police state. G.W. Bush put it in place with his Department of Homeland Security, the USA Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, all which have given the federal government complete police power over the citizenry of the people of the United States. Amen. For the first time in American history, the federal government has legal cover to incarcerate any American citizen, and they've done it with several, without being charged with a crime, without a judge issuing a warrant, without a lawyer representing the accused, without any legal jurisprudence on behalf of the accused. An American citizen can be arrested with the military police, held indefinitely, without charge, without legal representation, and without a judge signing off. If you don't know what that's called, my friends, that's called a police state. George W. Bush created it with the passage of the aforementioned laws I just named. Every president since him has used those laws to the advantage of the federal government over the citizenry of the people. Now, with the COVID pandemic, we hear about vaccine passports, vaccine work vouchers, vaccine travel vouchers. In other words, you cannot go anywhere, travel anywhere, work anywhere, potentially without having to have a vaccine passport, which says you have been inoculated with the full dose of the vaccines prescribed. Medical privacy no longer exists in the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, think about this. If you and I do not have medical privacy, we have no privacy. This was the last privacy to be invaded. Everything else has already been invaded. Our telephones are not private. Our cell phones are not private. Our computers are not private. Our emails are not private. I was reading I didn't bring it with me, but a couple weeks ago I was reading about a story regarding the latest surveillance technology. Maybe I should bring this out on the next point. Number three, the phony 9/11 and COVID narratives created a pervasive surveillance state. I was reading about some of the sophisticated programs that have been developed in concert, of course, with Silicon Valley and the big tech, but also and especially the Israeli government and the U.S. government. And they have created surveillance equipment that is so sophisticated. One of the ones that we know about is called Pegasus. It is so powerful, so intelligent, so sophisticated. There is no computer anywhere in the world that they cannot breach. There is no password that you can come up with. And you ought to see some of Micah's passwords. I mean, talk about sophistication. Micah, I hate to tell you, buddy, those passwords are like elementary school to these guys. They have the technology, the ability to corrupt any computer system, to spy on any political candidate, any reporter, any preacher, any citizen in the world. No one is safe. If you are connected electronically to the web, to the world, you are a potential victim. Most of this is coming out of Beersheba, Israel. That is the capital of this technology. But it's also, of course, being done in conjunction with the U.S. government and with Silicon Valley and the high-tech corporations that are now global in scope. So these vaccine passports, no matter what you call them, they are the last attack against privacy that people had left. Putting your own private medical data into a government computer system, to anyone that understands anything about liberty, it should make your skin crawl to even think of such a possibility. And yet, it's not just a possibility, they're already putting it into practice. And half of the people of the United States are fine with it, and the vast majority of the pastors in America are fine with it, but I've got news for you. There's at least half of the American people that are not only not fine with it, we will not ever submit. Never, never, never. You got a real problem, Fauci. You've got a real problem. There are more of us in this country who are willing to fight and die, if need be, for what we know to be true and to retain and maintain our freedoms than there are all of the government forces you can muster. There are more of us than there are of you. And every time you try to squeeze us a little bit harder, you create more of us. The phony 9/11 encoded narratives number 4 created a perverse spiritual state. Oh, my dear Lord in heaven, what has happened to our churches? Works-based salvation has always been an issue, as far back as the early 20th century, and liberalism invaded the seminaries and Bible colleges of America. We had a problem with works-based salvation doctrines. But nothing like what has evolved over the last 20 years. Ever since this devilish, satanic delusion of 9/11 and now COVID has enveloped the country, including the churches have plunged deeper and faster into false doctrine than ever before. And today, I would dare say that it's truly hard to find a church that does not teach one form or other of works-based salvation. Turn on most of the live stream programs and most of the radio broadcasts of the churches across the country, and if you listen very long, you're going to hear works-based salvation doctrines being taught. It's of the devil. It's a doctrine of devils. Anything that adds to the grace and mercy of God by faith. Faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Minus and plus nothing. Anything that adds to that is a false religion, a false doctrine, a doctrine of devils. I produced not too long ago a series of messages called The Christian Essentials, in which I talked about the six doctrines that I believe were fundamentally essential to the Christian faith, and any new Christian needs to learn these very quickly. The first message, the cults are wrong. Jesus is God. Number two, what is a Christian? Number three, God hath given to us eternal life. Number four, New Testament baptism. Number five, the fivefold work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And number six, why Christians are right to worship on Sunday. All those messages are essential to the Christian faith. Works-based salvation has grown exponentially over the last 20 years. Success-based ministries have grown exponentially over the last 20 years. Gallup poll, and I've quoted this before, I didn't bring it, but I think I can remember the highlights. Not too many years ago, made an in-depth investigative research into evangelical churches across the country to find out how they thought, what made them tick, what were the things that were most important to them, et cetera, et cetera. And they produced their results. I'm sure it's still online somewhere. You can find it. I've quoted it in detail when it first came out. Basically, Gallup told us that the vast majority of evangelical churches are success-driven. Success-driven. And the criteria they use to determine their success are the buildings that they build, including the auditorium and how many will it seat. It includes how many staff members they have. It includes how many programs they have. It includes how large are their offerings. These are the things that they use to judge their success. So if their buildings are getting bigger, they're successful. If their offerings are growing, they're successful. If they have more programs than last year, they're successful. If they have more staff than last year, they're successful. Everything is predicated around some kind of a material barometer of assessment. The Apostle Paul, when he told us about his success in the ministry, he said, of the Jews, three times received I 30 plus 9 stripes. I've been shipwrecked, spent a day and a night in the deep. I've been beaten. I've been put in jail. I've been betrayed by countrymen. I've been betrayed by brethren. He measured his success based upon how much he suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ, not upon any kind of physical or financial barometer of how big something was. And for thousands of years, the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, and of course Jesus himself, was our pattern, our model as pastors and churches as to what made us successful. But in the last 20 years, it's been about success-based ministry. It's been about emotion-based worship. It's been based on state-based authority. State-based authority. I cannot believe how many pastors have simply rolled over and allowed various governments to completely take over the authority of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a body of Christ. This is not a political body. This is not a civil body. This is a spiritual body that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the government has no business putting its grubby fingers in any of it. I sound like a promoter here, but I'm trying to get truth into your hands. The state, slavery, and sovereignty of God needs to be watched by every Christian and every pastor, as well as the natural law, liberty, and government package that we have explaining the authority of Christ in the church and in the individual life of the Christian, and the jurisdictional authority of men, including the governments of men, and how Christians relate to all of that. Without that understanding, we have become nothing but sheepish slaves of the state. And that's why 95% of the evangelical pastors in America have gone along with the COVID deception, is because they themselves are subservient in their own hearts to the state above Christ. We need preachers who are men of God, not men of government. Amen. If you want a man of government, go talk to your politician. If you want a man of God, you ought to be able to go to your church. In the last 20 years, since these great deceptions have enveloped our country, these things have mushroomed. And then, of course, last but not least, Israel-based prophecy has mushroomed over the last 20 years. I believe this is all part of the prophetic scheme of things. And I got to tell you that I know that it's getting close that I begin the prophecy series with you all, because I'm starting to get excited about it. And when I start getting excited about a message or a series of messages, I know right away that is God's Holy Spirit that is prodding me and telling me about the timing of these things. And I've already got the first couple messages almost ready to go. And maybe that's helping me to get excited about it. But this whole idea of Israel-based prophecy is so new to the church. This didn't start until the mid-1800s, and it didn't gain popularity until the early 20th century. Think about it. For over 1,800 years, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ had no inkling whatsoever of an Israel-based prophecy interpretation of Scripture. None. Until John Darby came along, and then later C.I. Schofield, nobody even heard about it. Nobody even thought about it. And if you go back and check, you'll find that when Darby was preaching over in England, that Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, the Prince of Preachers in London, he came out vehemently against Darbyism and tried to warn the church against accepting this new interpretation of Bible prophecy. And if we had listened to Charles Spurgeon instead of C.I. Schofield, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. I'll just say that right now. But have you watched the Israel packages yet? Come on, folks. We're getting close. Three packages, 31 messages. The Israel package, the foundational truth of the Bible, what the Bible says about Israel. If you haven't watched this yet, please, please watch that series. And then the interview I did with Rashad Leonce, that we're giving away CDs. All we ask you to pay is shipping and handling. We have them in bulks of 5 and bulks of 10. This is the best introduction to give to somebody who doesn't understand the subject. And you can give it to them. It's a 44-minute interview. The right questions were asked. I had all the opportunity to answer the questions. And it's, I think, the best introduction you could ever give. All those are available to help you. Ah, folks. Let's go back to our text. What did the Lord tell us? Be not afraid of sudden fear. The Lord shall be thy confidence. He shall keep thy foot from being taken. His secret counsel is with the righteous. He blesseth the habitation of the just. He giveth grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory. Folks, the Antichrist COVID narrative did not take God by surprise. Amen. Amen. It didn't. He gave us his word and his spirit to keep us calm and to give us courage. Fight on, all ye his saints, but not in fear, but with the calmness and the courage of the Spirit of God. Let's stand for prayer. Before I pray, if there's anyone watching me right now who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with an act of personal faith, believing that he died on a cross for you, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, that he liveth at the right hand of God the Father, coming again to create a new world and a new heaven for us. If you do not know him as Savior and Lord, if you've never received him by faith, I urge you to receive him now. How can anyone go through the times in which we're living without the assistance of our dear, dear, powerful friend, the Holy Spirit of God, who's sent to us by the Lord Jesus to be our comforter, to be our encourager, our strengthener, our friend. We need his power to deal with the things we're dealing with today. And without his power, we'll never be able to be truly successful. May God give us that calmness and courage that we have of the Holy Spirit because of receiving Christ as Savior. If you haven't trusted Christ, do it right now, in this room and online.